Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're here with an Alpha Flight episode.
We are. We're in the actual title of.
I know. And the last time we recorded an Alpha Flight episode, it was basically winter. Sort of winter.
And now we're a step away from summer.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, the high today is 70.
Yeah, although it doesn't look like it. It's very windy. It's very overcast. It's not a nice looking day out.
I kept thinking the leaves blowing from the window were fun birds, but they weren't just leaves, because all the bur oaks hold on to their leaves until the spring. And when the new leaves come out, that's when the old ones fall. For those who are not in the northern climes. But yeah, although the downy woodpecker was on top of the branch, under the branch, all around the branch like a spiral.
Doing its thing.
Looking for some bugs.
Asta is up from her nap. She is staring at the treats, trying to will them down into her mouth.
She really is. Just sitting there staring at them.
And she'll probably get one after this.
Oh, for sure.
When we need to lure her away so we can vacuum.
Yeah.
Because spring means the bunnies are shedding.
Yeah. Nora's less mangy looking than she used to be. Nick is basically done.
Yeah.
There's still some spots by his tail.
Yeah.
And his fur, it's very strange. He's so floofy. There's a lot of volume, but not a lot of mass.
Mm.
But something about that makes the tufts matte easier.
Yeah.
Like Nora's fur is dense, but it's never become felt.
Yeah.
Not like his has.
Yeah. He gets little felted spots that everything is together and you have to pull it out in a little shedding chunk.
Yes. Good thing you have very deft fingers.
Yeah. I can snatch them.
Yes.
Very quickly before they realize what's happening.
Don't worry. He's not snatching them bald.
Yeah. It's snatching things that are already detached, but they need to come out.
Yes.
We saw Madam Web.
We did.
It was a matinee we went to, and it's been out for 3 weeks now? 2 weeks? I think it's only 2 weeks.
Oh, it might only be 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, because it came out like Valentine's weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It's been out 2 weeks. We went to a matinee showing at my local theater.
There were two other people in the theater.
Four.
There were four others?
Yeah, two came in like 5 minutes into the movie.
Oh, that's right.
So there are six people in the theater at 12:30 p.m. on a Saturday.
I mean, that's four more than I expected.
Yeah, I was really hoping that no one else would be in there.
Yeah.
I still laughed out loud.
Yes.
You have to go into the movie thinking it's a camp comedy. Like, if you view it as camp, it is so funny and so worth it.
It's like cardboard.
Just.
Wow.
The script.
Thank goodness for Adam Scott.
Yeah. Who's looked like a snack for like 15 years running at this point.
Remember when he was in Star Trek First Contact?
No.
He was the helmsman of the Defiant.
Oh.
They're fighting the Borg cube.
I would watch it, but it's probably not on Paramount Plus because they can't keep the Star Trek movies on their own service.
Oh, yes. But also, I just like that space battle with the different types of ships.
Mm.
And the poor Akira classes, they keep getting beat up. And the steam runners, like,
yeah,
cleaved in half.
Speaking of Star Trek, we started a new Star Trek video game.
Yeah.
That's co-op, because I'm like, is there a co-op Star Trek game? And they made one in 2013 based off of the JJ verse.
Yeah.
Chris,
like, it has all the people.
Yeah. The voice talent and everything. I don't think I should have played it on an empty stomach, because I was just getting frustrated. Like, I was getting hangry at this game.
And you don't need that when you're dying multiple times from solar radiation.
Right. Just, we'll see where it goes.
We only did up until the main credit.
Right. Like, we did the first mission, which is just the opener, like the tease.
Yeah, it's
to get to the title screen.
It's some teamwork. It's not really a first-person shooter. Like, there's more spatial puzzle things.
But they're not really puzzles. so far.
Yeah, shoot this thing to get some cover to
emerge. Advance. Yeah.
Yeah. And then sprint.
Yeah.
A lot of sprinting.
Because there, I feel there are Star Trek games out there, but so many of them today are based off of, or it's computer games.
Yeah.
And not console. And I don't have a gaming computer at all.
No. I have to get an external hard drive to try and figure out Birth of the Federation.
From the late 90s.
Yeah. And even the that podcast episode you sent me with the to the people who worked on it, like it wasn't that big a seller at the time. Like it did fine. But the way that it's hung around, I feel like it hasn't been supplanted by anything. Like if you want a Star Trek game, like that, it's, it still sounds like that's the game you want.
Mm.
Which is true. I love that game.
Yeah, we have to figure out how to get that downloaded.
Yes.
And
careful, although you millennials who, if you've done what I've done and you just keep moving your music around,
yeah,
you end up with like three copies of every single song. Oh. And that is what is clogging up my computer.
Oh.
So
yeah.
That and like the Warcraft movie.
What?
Yes.
Oh.
And a couple others.
Huh.
I think I already moved the TV shows off, like all of Battlestar Galactica's no longer on.
Yeah. In the comics world, I've been reading tons of Alpha Flight.
Oh.
Like, I'm reading so far ahead of where we are.
Yes.
So that's been taking up my time away from the omnibuses that are just on the coffee table that I was working on.
They're very handy, though, when we record with our special guests.
Yeah, they hold up a computer really well.
Yeah.
To eye level.
Also, a good thing there's no special guests, because despite showering, I feel like my hair is still everywhere.
Oh, it's fine.
But it's fine. We showered. We're clean people.
Yes. Oh, Asta's moved on to a bucket of hay.
She's chewing some ends. She loves that bucket so much.
Yes. Anything else that's been happening? I'm trying to think.
There's more seeds outside. The celery has germinated.
Oh, that's fun.
A lot of basils have. I think out of the 16 cells, there's, or maybe there's, maybe it's 24 cells. There's a lot. I think all but two or three have some baby basils in them.
Very nice. The buns will appreciate that.
Yes.
And our future pestos.
Yes. And the parsley's have been slower, which is reversed from last year.
Yeah.
So this weekend, I have some flowers to get started, and I might do all the milk jugs. Like, at this point, with it being so warm, they should all go outside.
Yeah.
Even the germination code A, which is, they just need some light, and that's it. They require no special treatment.
That's not bad.
Mm-mm. So hopefully there will be lots of purple prairie clover. It's very confusing because one type of aster is like, it needs cold, wet contact with the soil for 60 days.
Oh.
And the other aster is like, it's fine. Just put it down when it's warm out.
Weird.
It'll grow. Yeah, but they're both host plants, I think.
Mm.
Or at least the smooth blue-leaved one is. So the goal is pollinator food all summer and fall.
Yeah, always have something for them.
Yes. So we have our spring ephemerals, and some will be arriving, plus the ones that we planted last fall. We've got plenty for the summer. And then the fall ones are like the gold zigzag, goldenrod, and the asters.
Yeah.
It's the 1-2 punch for pollinators.
Yeah, the lows are low, I'd say, like freezing or below still overnight.
Oh, well, thank goodness for that. There's still those three or four? Four. Swallowtail caterpillars that theoretically are still hibernating in the garden.
Mm.
And I just want them to be happy and successful and turn into butterflies.
And it's definitely spring. Like,
it smells like spring.
And yes, my allergies say it's spring. And my sinuses say it's spring.
And the front, like, each day has brought a new roller coaster ride of weather.
Yeah, it's like, oh, do you want more fluid in your ear? Do you want to impact how you're feeling and how your balance is? Then I have the season for you. It's springtime in Minnesota.
Which is not typical springtime.
No, it's not been like this. I've never been like this in late winter, but here we are.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, I think my project, like you have your planting stuff, I think I'm going to sort comics.
Oh, yeah.
That I've accumulated in piles. Like I have to sort them into title and then get them into boxes.
I did that three weekends ago at my place. And I didn't think there was that much. And then there was that much.
Then you start getting, you're like, I'll only have like five piles of titles. And then it's like 20 just everywhere.
Ooh, shout out to my coworker who does natural resource stuff. Was telling her about the Dracula comics. So I'm going to lend those to her because the art is so good.
Yes.
And the artist and writer are going to be at C2E2.
Yeah. C2E2 is coming up quick. It's next month already.
Yeah.
Which they keep announcing people and I keep adding people like, oh, I want to stop by and say hi to this person.
Also hoping the thirsty artists are there.
Yes. Like we need a male beefcake. Like a lot of artists, I feel at any Comic-Con, you'll walk around and just see like
boobs,
just like it, they really lean in hard to scantily clad females. I need scantily clad males in terms of art. I will throw money at that.
And it's wild. The three that are my favorites, at least, they're all at the Seattle Emerald City Comic Con.
So many people are at Emerald City Comic Con and I'm like, please, can you come to Chicago?
Yes. And at least one I know of so far is not.
No. I mean.
But also go support his Patreon for David Tulaski.
I feel really sorry for one of my best friends, Mickey, who we're staying with Mickey and Ashley and their family when we go to Chicago for like literally 2 days. Like we will be there for less than 48 hours.
But how many games of King Candy's Castle, aka Candyland, will we play?
Because I mean, I'm the uncle, so we're gonna have to play some games.
Yeah.
But Mickey's going with us to C2E2, and it's like, buckle up, buddy, because we have lists and we need to see things and see people.
Do we need like
caffeine?
Yes. But also all the extra deodorants that, like, we have both transitioned now to more natural deodorants. And
we can pack some in a bag.
I know, but we have some, like, extras of the regular stuff. We should just be handing it out to people, be like, here, take this, you need it. Bless. Like,
yeah, the Minnesota Comic Exchange, shout out to them, did a local mall show last weekend.
Yes.
We popped in quickly.
Saw our friends, found a bunch of issues. You found a bunch of issues for me. I guess your list is too specific.
It is. And then, because of the fluid in my ear, like I was looking through boxes, flipping through, and I looked up from that. And that combined with the over-the-counter drug that I looked this weekend causes even more dizziness. Like I got super dizzy and I'm like, I'm done now.
And it didn't help that people were not using deodorant but should have.
Oh, it was so bad. So bad.
It's like a wrestling show.
It really, really was. But yeah, we found some stuff. Then we went to a local toy store. A small business that had they posted Star Trek stuff. So I got more Star Trek stuff.
Yes. And you were like, which one do I want? And I'm like, I'll get you one for your birthday.
Yes.
You can have both.
You got me Uhura from the Mirror episode.
Yes.
It's so fun.
And I got Mirror Kirk for myself.
Yes. Exposed arms.
Yes.
So yeah, that's been the past week or so.
Yeah.
Just really busy, I feel. Hectic almost.
Even though, like, we have enough projects at our respective places or like trips to do based out of our respective places, that there's not a whole lot of downtime.
No, and it's disappointing. Maybe next weekend we set aside some downtime to do something. Like, we didn't play nearly enough board games this winter because there was no winter.
Right.
Because we were running around all the time, I feel.
Oh, yeah. I have been describing Return to Dark Tower a bunch to people because it's so fun. They're like, take a seal off the tower and little skulls come out at you. Or the Lord of the Rings game.
Yeah.
Into Middle Earth.
We haven't played that one since last winter.
Because it's such a good winter game. Like, we have a coffee table underneath a regular table. So there's two surfaces. So you can put all the figurines organized.
Because it has miniatures that you need to deploy at certain times when the iPad tells you to.
Ah, an orc has appeared.
Yes.
So that sort of thing. And then on top is when you have the map pieces and the tokens. And it's just so fun.
Yeah.
We haven't even done my father's work.
No.
And we remember every time we play it in the winter, we're like, oh, we should fill these little vials with like seeds that we've collected from outside. And then we never do.
No, we don't.
Maybe someday.
I know.
We'll put some little chamomile flowers in one and some bachelor buttons into another.
Yeah.
For some nice blues.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to figure that out because I have judging for a book awards committee I'm on.
Yeah.
Next weekend, next Saturday.
I might just play a lot of Crusader Kings.
Yes. You'll have to start a new game because we don't have save slots anymore.
I know.
Just want to shout out to the people who ported Crusader Kings to Xbox. One, thanks for blocking me on Twitter for asking legitimate questions and raising legitimate points. Like, maybe you should give us a timeline on fixes since we paid money for this game. They blocked me. I was not swearing. I was not mean. I was just very firm, like, your product needs to be fixed. We deserve to know when it will be fixed.
Because it is fun and it is great.
Yeah.
When it works.
Yeah.
Instead of crashing every in-game few months.
Yep. And it crashed on both of us during our separate games today.
So it's repeatedly.
Like, and it's like, oh, well, it's not auto-saving anymore.
Yeah.
And we can't do hard saves anymore because it says the slots are filled even though we only have three games saved.
So all you can do is overwrite.
I know I couldn't overwrite. It's to that point. It would not let me overwrite this morning.
Oh, and your Holy Roman Empire doesn't show up anymore. It's only your Pomerania and my Britannia.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Like, great. It's mostly functional. Just make it all the way functional.
It's one, and it was originally a PC game. Maybe we just need PCs.
No. So we can just sit in silence and
next to each other. It's a LAN party is what it's called, Philip. Go back to 2005. It's a LAN party.
Although the 4th of the Federation gets going, that's what I'll be doing.
Oh.
Like, as much, I would say it's more fun than Crusader Kings. And it's from 1998-99.
I mean, I had a couple games I played in the late 90s that I'd love to revisit too. Yeah. There's a Simpsons one that was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, should we get into Alpha Flight?
Yes, we have an actual issue. We're not, instead of just
we have doing two issues. So we have.
Oh, I thought we were doing one issue per episode.
No, we're doing two.
Well, dear listener, you're getting a lot.
Yes. Because we can't afford to stretch out Alpha Flight for. One issue per month for 140 months.
Oh,
that's not going to work for me. That's a no for me, dog. We have issue one, first dynamic double size issue.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of content, and we get the team on the cover saying, "One side superheroes. This is a job only we can handle."
And everyone's there. Anyone who's everyone.
The X-Men, Spider-Man, Thor, Captain America, the Fantastic Four, Daredevil.
I mean, it's wild to think that Thing is not featuring prominently in this.
He's hidden behind several people.
Wow. That is contrary to what I've been expecting from all these two-in-ones.
So, John Byrne. It says created by John Byrne. I might ask Chris Claremont about that.
Yeah.
Might have some words. Because John Byrne's are co-created?
Back when the...
When they appeared in Uncanny X-Men. Yeah.
And there's a Machine Man reference in here too.
Oh, there will be a Machine Man episode of our podcast with Jason from the Avenging Hour coming out in May.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we record that with him later this month. So I have the issues that he picked. We get to read Machine Man.
I never heard of Machine. I thought Machine Man was like an Iron Man thing.
No,
but no,
no. So John Byrne wrote and penciled this. Joe Rosen lettered, colored by Andy Yanchis, edited by Denny O'Neill. Jim Shooter is our editor-in-chief. Guardian is in, like, a stripped bear headquarters.
He's having some sad boy vibes here.
So this is continuing on directly from where we left them. They have been defunded. Department H, gone.
I like the sort of pastel recap panels that it gives.
Yep. So it's the recap of them trying to recapture Wolverine. Wolverine just sitting very jauntily when he was helping them with the Wendigo.
Wendigo. And Nightcrawler is there too.
Yes.
That panel of Snowbird walking in as a polar bear and all of Nightcrawler's fur standing on end will just live in my memory.
Then we see the Prime Minister telling Mac that, hey, you're defunded, sorry. And then Mac's like, I wonder what's going to happen to everyone. Alpha Flight, and it shows like the lineup. We have North Star, Aurora, Snowbird, Shaman, and Sasquatch. And he's like, Beta Flight is a mixture, still in training. And we have Huck, Marina, Box, and two other people.
But at least you can recognize some of them, as well as Gamma Flight. I have no idea who they are.
Gamma Flight, we have Diamond Lil is in there.
Oh.
We also have Wild Child.
Wait, the scion of Sabretooth and Mystique?
Wild Child.
Who is in AOA?
Yes.
Is he on...
But he's not the child of them.
He's not?
No.
Then who's their kid?
I don't know. Oh. Someone with the last name of Creed.
So he's got to be related to Sabretooth.
No.
Isn't that Victor Creed?
No.
Who's Sabretooth?
No, our Wild Child, his last name is not Creed.
Oh.
That's...
You just said his name.
No. That's Sabretooth. Yes.
It's Grayson Creed is the kid.
This is Kyle something. Anyway, then someone comes in and they're like, yeah, they're cutting the power, Vindicator. You might want to get out. Forget Guardian Vindicator. He's having an identity crisis with his name.
We got some panels describing why it's Vindicator, though.
So he flies away from Ottawa. And he's like, I wonder if Captain America has problems like this.
And he's also lamenting the fact that without his stipend, they're relying on just Heather's salary.
Yes, because she is still working for whatever.
Department H?
No, Department H is gone. I thought.
She's still working for someone.
Yes, she has a job. She's working hard. But it does pose the question. So on the cover, it says, exploding from the pages of the X-Men. Do you view Alpha Flight as Canadian... Yes. As the Canadian X-Men or Canada's Avengers? And why?
In this 5-paragraph essay, I will.
Introduction, body, conclusion.
I think it's Avengers because not everyone is a mutant.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And the only, like, there's Moira, there's Kyle, there's Marco Kane. There's not a whole lot of non-mutants on X teams.
Do you mean Kyle Northstar's husband?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess he's not a team member, but he's around.
Yeah.
He got a special flower to live on Krakoa. But I feel like it's more an Avengers where you have some mutants, but then you also have some magical people. You have some otherwise superheroed people. Like, is Sasquatch cursed?
Oh, you were going to learn so much about Sasquatch.
I can't remember his backstory issue, but I remember reading it.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, it's in the first 12.
Yeah.
I mean, North Star is the main attraction.
Yeah.
Icon that he is.
Yeah, I think they're more Canada's Avengers.
Yeah.
Even
though they would be offended if you'd said that to them.
I think there are some comparisons. You'll see that too.
Yeah, because they get snippy of like... Oh, we're fighting a lot? Oh, we're the Avengers?
No. All right, so nearly 2,000 miles to the north and west, we have a man in a camp with a pup tent.
He's not looking great.
He's looking haggard. And he's like dragging his foot, making shapes, like he's making a crop circle, but it's not a circle. It's an outline of like Bigfoot.
Yes, it's different. It's almost like the premiere episode of Discovery where Giorgio and Michael Burnham walk around in a desert and you're like, what are you doing? And they make a gigantic insignia.
Yes.
So that they can get beamed up.
I remember you showed me that. And the first time, I think you tried watching it, like I got bored.
With Disco?
Yes.
Oh.
Like within the first 15 minutes, I'm like, what is this? And then season two was really good.
It was.
But then for me, like I lost interest after Captain Pike was no longer around in the Enterprise.
But it's also like, I feel like we've had this discussion before about how the total number of Disco episodes is basically two seasons of regular Trek.
It's true.
Which for other series is, was not the strongest. It took them typically until season three to be like, yes, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Although I really did like the end of season two, one and two.
Mm. Anyway. Old guy makes the shape. Then he puts on a nice tiara. And it says it begins and they're swirling things around him. But then we go.
It's ancient metal. It's tingly.
Yes.
If you are experiencing tingling, please contact your physician.
You had tingling in a finger yesterday.
And it's still sort of there.
Yeah, that's a nerve.
It's fine. It's like the nettle feeling.
No. We're just a basket of issues.
Trying to get through an issue.
So then we're in Calgary, Alberta, or at the Sarcee Reserve, just outside Calgary. Shout out to our friend in Calgary, Jay Cosmic. Hey, how's it going? Do you know a Dr. Michael Tu Youngman, MD? Because he's in his office. And he brings a box down and he's feeling something. Like the call of his grandfather. And he's like, grandfather? And he opens a box and there's his grandfather's skull. Which we talked about Shaman in our previous episode.
We did.
And I really, I feel I need to dig and see if John Byrne did any sort of cultural research. But also keeping a skull in a box in your office, not the most hygienic.
Maybe.
I guess. But I mean, all those horror movies where you'd see a doctor, that's like a human skeleton.
Yeah.
All the anatomical stuff used to be actual skeletons. So maybe it's okay. But anyway, he opens the box and he's like, speak, oh grandfather, the son of your son awaits. We have to wait. Because meanwhile, we go to Quebec.
And
it's, it's Mademoiselle Beaubier.
And Monsieur Beaubier.
Yeah, he comes in with his hot rod. His
and there's
80s
a paparazzi. There's like all these
little girls who have autograph books, and they're like, what? Because first they're like, "Where? When's your brother coming?" Like they prepared, like they heard a rumor that Jean-Paul was going to show up, and they prepared themselves.
I know Madeline takes place in Paris, but like it's that same sort of
hat.
Yes. Instead of French schoolgirls, it's French Canadian schoolgirls with the hats and the uniforms.
Yes. So he
makes sense because he's going to go visit Jean-Marie, the alter ego of Aurora.
So he vroom vrooms up and
vroom vroom bitches.
And he's like, he tries to bring up their adventure in Machine Man 18.
He does.
And she's like, I don't want to talk about that out here, okay?
Let's go have some tea, some biscuits.
But first, a nun in a flying nun hat is like, why are you bringing a man to your room?
And she's
it's
like,
a good thing there's no lock on the door.
And like any good gay man, Northstar knows how to schmooze his way past a religious older lady.
And then the panel I posted like a month ago on the Instagram, come in, Jean-Paul, I'll stir the tea.
And it's a very austere attic bedroom.
I would stay in, like, can we find an Airbnb with this aesthetic? Because that seems comfy.
Only in the spring. My grandpa's oldest sister was, I think she was a teacher.
A nun?
Not a nun.
A nun teacher?
But a school teacher who lived in someone's upstairs.
Yeah.
And the family lore, like, it was not good conditions. And that's how she got TB and died.
Oh.
So.
R.I.P.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, not to bring
it up. Did you know that addicts cause tuberculosis? If you or a loved one has been affected by an addict, please call the law offices of Beaubier and Beaubier. So Northstar is like trying to break her out, and he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? He snatches her glasses, shakes her so much that her hair falls loose
out of a very severe bun,
and he's like, look at yourself in the mirror, look at yourself.
And this is,
and she's like, I can't, and faints.
This is this interesting dialogue that Northstar is giving, where he's sort of setting up this character for Aurora / Jean-Marie, that they're two different people. For him, Jean-Paul is Northstar, Northstar is Jean-Paul. But Jean-Marie does not like or appreciate anything about Aurora, and Aurora does not like or appreciate anything about Jean-Marie.
No. He's like, that's not someone else, that is you.
And he's like, Alpha Flight brought us together, we are twins, I have a sister, so why... I want a relationship with you, but you are also crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he says those words.
So she faints, he places her on the bed. And then we cut to 138 Laurier Drive in Ottawa.
I kept thinking it was Beaubier Drive. Like, did they really just name the street after the twins? But no.
So I just looked it up in Google Maps. It looks like there's nothing there.
Oh.
I know.
Is it even a Laurier Drive?
Oh, wait. Wait. There's a 138 Laurier Avenue in Hamilton, Ontario, but there's a 138 Laurier Drive northwest in Edmonton, but there's none in Ottawa. Where this would approximately be is right off of the campus of the University of Ottawa.
Oh, okay. That makes sense for them.
Yeah. And it's right down from like Parliament Hill. There's also a level 1 game pub.
Oh, that nearby. Sounds fun. But yeah, that makes sense with what we've read.
And it's on, there's a hill.
Yes. And it talks about like a quiet street where professors live and that sort of thing.
So Heather is here in cutoff jean shorts. She has a lot of houseplants.
She has a shirt that says, where the heck is something, something.
Where the heck is High River?
Something. Forgot to keep looking at the panels, but her shirt is hopefully some sort of inside joke.
I don't know.
But also good for her. Like, she has a wall of plants. Like, they're those hooks that you put over the molding, like you would for pictures, but it's just those, not macrame. Is macrame the word?
It is macrame. Macrame that, hangers.
Those hemp baskets for flower pots.
Yes.
And I'm sort of jealous.
So Matt comes home. He does not come in through the door.
No, he flies in through the window. And she can tell because he flew in through the window that something is not right.
I just looked this up. I am doing so much research on the fly right now. Her black t-shirt reading, where the heck is High River, puzzled fans for decades. It doesn't seem to be a reference to anything.
Oh, opportunity lost.
Should we... I think we should make a shirt for the podcast.
Where the heck is High River?
Yes. We should open up a little merch store and that can be our first design.
No.
Where the heck is High River?
I mean, it'd be more fun if it was like a running gag, sort of like Morn is on DS9.
Yeah. He takes off his helmet, which is clearly a helmet. RIP my cosplay. I need to get a helmet. Mac is like, oh yeah, I'm gonna relax. Turn on the TV. The phone rings. Heather answers it. It is Gary from Department H.
Gary?
She says, Mac, it's Gary. He says, you'd better check the CBC. So this is where he turns on the CBC, which, by the way, follows me on Twitter.
What?
The CBC and Paris Hilton follow me on Twitter.
Wow.
I'm basically an icon.
So I should have done more than just that one Schitt's Creek reference.
So live from Resolute Bay, we see a weird swirly thing on the TV.
Yeah, weird swirly thing is right. And they have confirmed it's not just the Northern Lights.
And so he puts his helmet back on. And she's like, aren't you going to call the rest of Alpha Flight? And he's like, there is no Alpha Flight.
He's being very dramatic.
He's like, I'm doing this alone. They have a magic bookcase.
They do. How jealous are you?
I'm jealous. she opens it and she's like, look at this mess, which true to my library right now. I'm working on it.
It's a work in progress.
It's now my spring cleaning project. Maybe next weekend.
Do we just need to paint like a trompe l'oeil over the door so it looks like a bookshelf? And then you just open it like a door.
So she goes for computer cards and she's like, I need to call people in to help him.
It's an 8-track player.
No, this is a computer.
I know, but it's giving me 8-track player vibes.
So she slips ABBA's The Visitors album first, listens to that while she's looking for cards, and then she finds it. And she's like, I'm calling these people in. Boop, 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 boop.
Oh, there's two new cards with the Alpha Flight gold trim on them.
Yes.
I don't recognize the pictures, but I'm going to call them in anyway.
So we cut to this skeezy bar in Toronto. It's not really skeezy, I guess. They have that nice hammered copper ceiling.
Tin. Pressed tin ceiling.
And we see Judd. Eugene Milton Judd.
I had thought that Judd was his first name. And there's some skeezy guy being creepy to the waitress.
And he bounces them. So he's basically the bouncer.
And they're like, oh, what are you going to do, short stuff? And he proceeds to kick their ass.
But then he gets like the little call from Alpha Flight. And he's like, bye. And he does little cartwheels down the road.
He's so excited. Like he, I know this is a spoiler for an upcoming panel, but he worked so hard to get from Beta Flight to Alpha Flight. Just in time for it to be dissolved.
Yes.
He was so excited and put all that effort in and just had the rug pulled out from under him. So this is like a good moment for him.
And then we go to Newfoundland and it's Marina. And she is in a nice turtle, a chunky turtleneck.
She's got a friend.
And that's her like adopted brother.
Oh, that's nice. And he
Except
brings...
he's in love with her.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that why there's a reference to the island being inbred?
So he brings the locket to her that has her signal.
The transmitter.
Yeah, yes. So she like jumps in the water, leaves her
chunky sweater behind. Yeah. She does not seem to be affected by cold.
No. Then we go to British Columbia and it's Walter Lankowski. He is hiking. But then he gets the call and strips naked and Sasquatch is on his way.
But it's like his first very smooth transition.
Mm.
No pain. No Advils required.
So now we're in the way north again. Snowbird is flying around as an owl. And she gets the call. Except she's basically there. Like she felt
it. He already knows.
Yeah, she felt it because it relates to
her upbringing, yes. Which is a mystery. We just know she's a demigoddess.
Yes. So it's one of the great beasts.
Yes.
Of Canada.
Does she know that it's tundra right away?
No, she just knows that it's a beast. And then the outline that has been like cut comes to life. So a big swampy ass hand. Oh, rises
because the dude who is looking haggard like is actively decomposing.
Yes.
And his life force becomes that of Tundra.
Yes, who introduces themselves as Tundra.
Yes.
Does Tundra have a gender? I don't think it does.
No.
But
they are there to wreak havoc.
Yes. And Snowbird says, "Help me, mother, I'm afraid." Marina is only 5 miles away at this point. She springs out of the water with a water spout to project herself towards where they are.
Like, that must be so much force to send a jet of water that fast. So Jean-Marie has recovered. She is now Aurora. And she is like, come on, brother.
She's like a playful air nymph.
She is. She is so much more fun. She's footloose. She's fancy free. Jean-Paul is like, you are not the same.
No.
You are not one person. What am I going to do with you?
Yeah. I fear you may be quite mad.
Yes.
Then we go to...
Judd.
Yes. At Mansfield Air Base, 20 miles west of Toronto.
He's like, I'm here. I'm answering the call. Get me to a plane. And the dude's like, no.
There's no such thing as Alpha Flight. or you're not a person in Alpha Flight. I guess
I know who's in it, and it's not you.
And then,
so he flips the dude and still walks away. Like, I can't actually break in to steal a plane.
Yeah,
that would be wrong.
Snowbird is still there, solo confronting Tundra, who sets a cloud of mosquitoes after her.
Because she is like, forgive me my fears. It was scary, but now I'm better. And in a language that she doesn't consciously know, but she knows, she addresses Tundra and is like, you fucked up. You should not be here.
Vindicator comes in and with an energy blast dispels the mosquitoes. But then Tundra blasts him with a bunch of rocks.
Yes.
Like pebbles.
From their body.
Yeah. Shaman comes in sitting crisscross applesauce. Because that's the only way he can fly. As if he's sitting like that.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh no. There is so much stereotyping happening.
He's like, this beast is known to me, spoken of in dark legends. Tundra, mind is the power to reason with the mortal mind within you.
So he thinks that that decomposing corpse
is still in there and thinking.
Wrong.
Incorrect.
He almost gets a boulder dropped on him for his trouble.
Vindicator / Guardian comes back, is blasting away. Pew, pew. And it's not doing much. The beast does scream,
but it also causes tremors and
for 100 miles,
like a lot of damage. So Snowbird has to be like, that's great, but you need to stop.
Yeah.
That's not going to be effective.
A helicopter comes in and airdrops Sasquatch.
He can get air support.
Yes.
Puck cannot.
And he just picks up like chunks off of Tundra because he lands on Tundra,
literally ripping chunks out of Tundra
because Tundra's made of the land, like has risen from the earth.
Yes.
And is composed of earth.
Yes. So Sasquatch is living his best digging life.
Dig dig dig
except he gets punched off, and it's so funny because he's punched, but he's not like hurt.
Yeah.
But you see him flying backwards, and Northstar and Aurora do nothing to catch him.
No, they just keep flying forward.
And Northstar is like, if he lives, he lives.
If he survives, he survives. If not, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Northstar could not care less.
So they create like a wind vortex to try to peel away pieces of Tundra.
And it's sort of working, but it's just too slow. Like, yeah. Tundra is growing at a rate that outpaces the powers of erosion.
Shaman summons rain clouds to erode.
Yes. Erosion is the power that will defeat Tundra.
Yes. But he's still replenishing himself. But then the water spout, see it in the distance.
It was very confusing because at first Shaman is like, there's not enough moisture in the air. It's like Bobby. Yeah. Like, he needs air moisture to keep going. And he's like, I can't do that again. It was great. It was effective. But there's just not enough ambient moisture to call another deluge. But the water spout appears.
And Vindicator knows. He's like, what is she doing here?
It's Marina. She got the call.
Yeah.
Also, amazing power that she has to create that water spout.
Yeah.
To go 5 miles overland.
And so Northstar, Aurora, they link hands to flash a bright light so that Tundra doesn't see the water spout coming.
Yes.
And they land. Shaman is like, yes, enough. And channels it all and makes Tundra melt. And then we just see that Tundra creates a lake.
Yeah.
And at the bottom is the skull with a little crown on it.
Yes, as its dreams sink into the mire.
Yep. We get a little nosy neighbor action.
That's so funny. Although it's Francois is a traditionally a guy's name.
Yeah.
If it was an E at the end, it would be a woman's name.
Mm.
Which in this case it's a straight couple.
Yeah.
So I think John Byrne forgot it's Francois's.
So it's a meeting of Alpha Flight. They're peeking in. She's like, there's so many people going up to this.
You need apartment. To say something. And he's like, they pay their rent. They don't have loud parties.
Let him be.
Yeah.
So it's a meeting in the living room. Walter Lankowski, what a hunk.
Yes. I mean, former football player.
Yeah. So they're discussing the future of Alpha Flight. They're like, we just did some stuff.
And they're like, hey, Mac, I know you said that we were dissolved, but we are going to stick together.
Yeah.
And even John Paul is on board.
Yes. That's a gay sitting. He's sitting like a gay in that chair.
And it's like, if
gays cannot sit correctly in chairs, everyone, like, it's impossible. So his, like, one of his legs is hooked over the arm.
Yes. And he's like, where Jean-Marie goes, I go.
There's a knock at the door.
And it's Puck.
It's Puck.
And he's like, I'm here. I finally got it.
And Lankowski is like, oh, good. We need a mascot.
And this is where Puck punches him in the face.
And Heather goes, oh, Lord, suddenly I don't know if this is such a great idea. And says, the beginning, ...
It's very like at the end of the original series of Star Trek, where there's always that like har har moment between Spock and McCoy.
Yes. And that's the first dynamic double size issue.
I enjoyed it.
Yes.
It made me want to read more.
Yes. I think it does its job. It's a fun introduction. They take time, and by they I mean it's basically Byrne takes time to introduce everyone to each character, just a little bit. Yes. Not a lot. You don't get a lot. You get enough of a foundation to understand the battle and their powers, and that's it. He's slow rolling this,
which is one of the things I actually liked about the especially the first 6, 7, 8 issues, mm-hmm. where you get, after the main story ends, you get here's the background of this person.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that because it gives each one a moment to shine and beyond just the typical team environment where it's a little bit harder to get the standout moments.
Yeah, it's Byrne fleshing out his notes. Like, he created these characters, co-created, whatever we want to say.
Yeah.
And
gives them all compelling backstories.
Yes.
You know who didn't get a compelling backstory? Ezekiel Sims from Madam Web.
Oh.
How did he get his powers? That's never shown.
I hope that there's a director's cut of that movie. Dakota Johnson is like, this movie is not what it was pitched to me as.
Really? At all.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah, like they shifted the entire focus and everything.
Huh.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Or this is what it could or should have been.
Yeah.
Here's what the bad guys' lines originally were before they were all dubbed in.
Oof. And you could tell they were dubbed so poorly.
Yes.
So Ugh. Poorly. And with a weird accent. Like, you could not place that accent.
No.
Issue 2 of Alpha Flight. What's on the cover?
It is Vindicator saying, Puck, be careful. Something's happening to her. There's Sasquatch looking concerned as they need, like, a bigger feature in the background. Aurora and Shaman. Oh, and there's the little North Star.
Oh.
Just peeking out from me. And Puck is up close next to Marina, who is, like, freaking out. Her fingers are turning to claws. There's so many more wrinkles.
She's looking different.
It's, Smeagol is to her in issue 1, and then Gollum is to her on the cover here. Like, the changes in face to tell the two apart.
Yep.
Oh no.
You keep talking. I'm going to close the windows because the neighbor is shooting a gun for target practice.
I'm glad we're not working in the woods. Do we even need to notify them when we go to work in the woods?
Oh no.
Ugh. So here we are, Shadows of the Past. And it's Guardian flying. It's Vindicator flying. I'm going to keep messing up their names. It's Vindicator flying. And he is 20 miles south and west of Fort Albany, Ontario, on a vast stretch of undeveloped land that is where, like, they do weapons testing. And in this case, it's some exercises with Alpha Flight. because I was very confused. All of a sudden, North Star and Aurora fly past him and knock him out of the air.
Mm.
And then Sasquatch catches him and throws him like a football. And it's like, oh, allowing yourself to be caught off guard like that, very clumsy, especially when there's only Sasquatch to catch you. And I'm on the wrong side. And Shaman is like, the voice of reason. Sasquatch, no, his force field is down. And he needs to create some bracken to grow up and create a safety net to catch Vindicator. And somehow this gets Vindicator and Shaman's side 2 points, even though I thought that the twins and Sasquatch would have more points. But Marina is showing off her strength and just basically does a moraine onto land. She just drops a pond onto Sasquatch, which is hilarious.
I mean, the X-Men need a danger room. Alpha Flight just goes to the country.
It's true. And it's a very sad and soggy looking Sasquatch. That's all I need. A spontaneous bath from our resident amphibian. Puck thinks it's hilarious. Is rolling on the ground laughing.
Mm.
Raffle, as the kids are saying on AOL Instant Messenger these days. So they go after it. And Vindicator's like, okay, people, we're done. Like, Aurora, can you go calm down Sasquatch? And I mean, looking chiseled, like you could grate cheese off of Max's cheekbones.
Yeah, you could.
And like, great. Like, this is actually good for us. We haven't practiced.
Mm-hmm. If we're still going to be a team,
we need to keep doing this. And Vindicator has his sad boy moment. Oh, I never wanted to be a group leader. I don't think I have what it takes to be a superhero. In fact, on my very first venture, I nearly killed a civilian. And that's a lot for me to have to vindicate. So that's why he's Vindicator. Trying to be the Canadian answer to Captain America. So while you may feel you have much to vindicate, Canada does not. Canada has his back.
Mm.
So the twins and Sasquatch come over the hill and something is up with Marina. It's like she's suddenly feeling ill.
Is there a weather front coming through? Because if so, I can relate.
She says the sinus pressures.
Yeah.
But I mean, basically, suddenly in my head, I feel so strange. I mean, he's sort of nice, but also sort of creepy. Like, hey, it's okay, Marina. It's me, your old Uncle Judd. And then we get this golem face.
Yeah, which they would have known one another in Beta
Flight. Yes.
So
the two of them have worked together.
Yes.
And then we get a 5-panel shocking moment because in that golem face, Marina has slashed. And there's some like she's bloody
almost,
goop.
She's almost disemboweled him.
Yes. Shock above Vindicator. It boils across Alpha Flight, Shaman. None of them know her well, Aurora. But one question is now asked with North Star. Is this the real Marina over Sasquatch? And Puck is on the ground. You get the very wavy help me letters when you know it's bad.
Mm.
As Marina jumps into the water. The twins try to follow her, but she is so speedy. Like, she's faster in the water than they are.
Mm.
She's like a penguin. Very fast in the water.
Except super fast. Like, she's exceptionally fast.
Yes. And as fast as the twins are, they cannot find her.
Yeah.
So Shaman does some first aid triage on Puck. Marina nearly disemboweled him. He's lost a lot of blood and internal tissue. Like, did she just chop his liver in half?
Oh.
He needs Michael Two Young Men more than he needs Shaman. So they get into their special jet.
Yes. The Alpha Jet?
Oh, it had a name.
The Alpha Flyer?
I really wanted it to be like Pushing Daisies, where it's like boutique travel, travel boutique.
No.
Or the Darling Mermaid Darlings. But it does not have such a name. Instead, we go to a hospital, and these two doctors are like, oh, I thought he went... Well, it's awkward conversation. Mm. Like, we thought he went back to the reservation. And the other doctor's like, doesn't matter, he's still the best surgeon in the nation.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, the hottest cutter.
Oh.
Which
sounds like Grey's Anatomy slang to me.
It's true. But Toronto and not Seattle.
Mm.
Dr. Tuhuman comes out. He's done all he can, but Puck doesn't have the same sort of healing factor like Wolverine or Sasquatch. Like, he has no natural other help.
Yes, he's just strong. His superpower is strong
and agile.
Yes.
Meanwhile, back up in an isolated Royal Canadian Mounted Police post in the District of Mackenzie, Northwest Territories, we get the human version of Snowbird.
Yes. So she works for them.
Yes.
Works for like a general.
Although the person that she worked for before had just died, and now this new person, she's saying, hates her. He hates me, and he is determined to frustrate me, and Jim Hudson says I can do nothing about it. He fears I might use my powers against Chief Inspector Hamilton, and yes, there are times.
Mm.
Good for her. But Shaman has invoked the name of the Great Spirit. Some menace must threaten Alpha Flight, and so she must go quickly.
So,
as Snowbird.
So what did he exactly say?
Who?
Shaman.
We don't know.
I think it was just an exclamation like, oh, Great Spirits, I need to help him or something. He wasn't like...
There's no text bubble like
he
that.
He wasn't calling for her specifically, but he said something tangentially that called out to her.
Off panel, though. There's no... They're all like, let's go after Marina. Team, let's go. There's not a...
Yeah.
There's no special invocation. But she just knows through magical connections that they need her. So that's why she goes flying out the window.
Yes.
And this new dude is like,
she's never here.
She's never here. And luckily there's at least a lieutenant to be like, you know the deal, Chief Inspector. Your predecessor arranged her to have open hours. And he's like, I know Thompson, but I'm in charge here now. And I want Mackenzie brought up on charges. I will have whatever her secret is.
Oh.
And her secret is that she's a demigoddess. Leave her alone.
Right?
So she catches up to the top secret Omni ship. That's what it's called.
With an A on the bottom. Alpha.
Oh, and on the dorsal fin, too.
Oh, it's an A?
Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
Although it looks like an F because that one, the downward bar on the right side is black. And
maybe they stylized it like that, so it's an A and an F.
Together.
Yes.
At the same time. So... they're all here. They're headed towards the magnetic North Pole, which thankfully is still in Canada. So there's no repercussions that she's going to enrage the Soviets. Because the Soviets, this is 1988.
Real touchy.
Or 89?
What?
When is this?
This is like 82.
Oh.
No, 84. 83. I looked at issue one. Copyright 1983.
Yeah. So, yeah, Soviets are still a thing.
Don't worry, though. The late 80s Alpha Flight is wild. We'll get there.
Oh, that's right, because I think I was looking at the total date range, and the end date is what was standing out to me.
What? It ends in the 90s.
Never mind.
I think you just made a year up.
Or is it Excalibur that ends in 89? And that's also 90s.
Excalibur started in the late 80s.
That was it. See?
Okay.
It's just a big soup up there. So the other teammates are like, so Mac, tell us about Marina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could this have happened? Has she gone through the whole screening process that we did? Although Aurora passing the psyche eval, but with Jean-Marie, like with two personalities.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
So it began 18 years ago off the Grand Banks of Newfoundland.
Yeah, we get like a whole story.
This is
a whole ass backstory. Like, we're going back almost 20 years.
And there's a big old storm. And this guy is like, we need to get the nets. It's going to sink the ship otherwise.
Yeah, the ship is being tossed.
It's very... I can't...
Gilligan's Island.
I was going to say Gilligan's Island.
They're on a 3-hour tour and it's going bad.
And the first officer is like, you're not going to make it 2 minutes out on deck. And the little thought bubble is like, well, but he made it 5 minutes. The first mate was wrong, but not completely, because the net still caught the captain, dragged him underwater, and he was sinking. And the hope of the drowning man was just this glowing egg on the bottom of the ocean.
Oh,
so
he took it.
Right, because like
a glowing egg,
you have no options. Like, you're trapped in your nets. You can't swim up to the surface. Like, maybe this mysterious thing will help you out.
Might as well grab this glowing egg. And it did help.
It did. Though the object he now clutched was certainly no straw, clutching at straws reference.
Yes.
It pulsed and it glowed in his hands alive. And most surprisingly, freed from the mire of the bottom, it buoyed quickly to the surface, taking the captain with it.
Mm.
So Angus throws him a life preserver, and he gets home.
He brings the egg with him. They're like, what is this? Is it going to hatch?
Where he lived with his wife and grandson. And he's got his feet in in one of those big wash basins full of hot water.
Trying to warm up.
It's got a blanket around him.
He's chilled to the bone.
A steaming cup of tea. That just sounds so nice.
It actually does. Like, I could go for a steaming cup of tea.
With your feet in a nice warm bath.
Maybe that's my plan tonight.
Take a bath, a tubby.
Yes, but with no hot tea. Like, hot tea in a warm bath.
Like, you're already sweaty.
Yeah. Maybe hot tea before.
Yes. Or after.
Or after, yeah. Like, when you're all relaxed and then you have some tea.
That you still have linden flowers and mint, right?
Yeah.
So, it's an egg. Gran, look, there's a chicken in it. And Gran is like, it's not a chick. Young Dan, but something alive is in there. This blew my mind. Like, when I was little and on the farm, and my grandma Dorothy would talk about the eggs in the incubator, she's like, you can't help them along. The chicks will not survive.
Oh.
Like, they need to come out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And Gran just cracks it open, and there's a little Marina inside. By the time she had cleared away most of the jelly-like coating, tiny though she was at first, Marina, as the small woods named her, was strong and grew quickly. And she's playing with some letter blocks.
So she's growing up alongside their grandson, which makes her sort of his aunt.
Yes. Or sister?
Sister aunt?
Oh. Which makes sense, because the next line, seriously, the next line in the panel over... In a closed, frequently inbred community, like that tiny island.
Ew.
John Byrne. Just writing off all these little communities as inbred.
Yeah.
But they accepted her. I mean, at least they had that going, despite the inbred. And she seemed friendly and happy. And when she turned 16, like, her full aquatic abilities manifested. She was super fast.
She's really good at swimming.
And
I mean, great that they named her something that's so aquatic sounding.
Right? Like, oh, the moons of Neptune are all named after water things.
Mm.
Or even Uranus, like Ariel from The Tempest. Could have been
Mermaid.
Although I suppose that would have been already taken by Shadowcat, Kate Pride.
Yeah.
She was Ariel for a hot minute.
Yeah, like one issue. She's also Sprite.
There's also Neri-eyed, but that's the dude version. I think there's a lady version of like, there's a whole pantheon of sea gods and goddesses.
Is Marina one of them?
I don't know.
Oh.
But if, dear reader, if you're looking for a book recommendation, Circe is really good and talks about some of this.
Mm.
So go look it up. So they all flashback to the Omnijet.
Yes, the Omnijet.
And from there was a quick progression to Department H, and I inducted her into Gamma Flight. In fact, she was the first of them. Within months, she'd risen to Beta. And Lankowski is like, and all this on trust alone, Jim? You couldn't have run the standard psych test, or you never would have let her into Alpha. And Mac is like, yeah, Marina was as thoroughly checked out as any of you, and she passed with flying colors. even though Northstar thinks that Aurora is mad, quite mad.
Yes.
So 100 miles ahead, Marinus swimming through an iceberg, through waters close to freezing, deadly to a mere human. Although, to be fair, there's fish that swim around in water that is below freezing.
Yes.
It's just salty. That's why it's not a solid.
No.
And those fish are like, this is our home.
So she emerges into this a cavern?
A cavern. It's icy, but there's also some technological pipes in there. The silence is vast and ancient and seems to swallow all noise. Yet still she hears the siren call, though perhaps hears is not the true word, for it's not her ears that sense the signal. It thrills through her entire being, pulses as her blood pulses. She's being summoned, compelled even, to the center chamber. And there's a creepy dude in a chair with all sorts of wires. There's nothing here that you need fear. You have come home. And she's like, home? My home is that 3,000 miles from here.
Yeah.
Who are you and what have you done to me? And this dude is like, done. I've done nothing save reveal to you your true nature and purpose. As to who am I, you may call me the Master.
Oh,
as if he's a Doctor Who villain.
Yes.
And next up is the Genesis Effect.
So that's the main story. We have a backup story in this issue, as you mentioned.
Yes. So this one is all about Vindicator.
Oh, so it's the backstory of who he was. He a simple scientist.
Yes, working for an oil company.
Roxxon.
Yes, which will feature prominently later.
Oh, it keeps featuring. Don't you worry, Roxxon doesn't go away.
Oh, that's right. I feel like other issues have referenced Roxxon.
Yes.
And I was like, ha, I know that that's an Alpha Flight reference.
Well, it's a Marvel reference. Roxxon is Marvel.
Don't take that from me.
But in Alpha Flight, it will pop back up for years.
Yes. So Mac is freaking out. He's like, Jerry, no, you really can't be doing this to me. Because Jerry Jackson has sold the like robot suit,
yes,
to the U.S. Army, and Mac has all sorts of feelings about that.
So Mac has basically created like an Iron Man suit that can be weaponized.
Yes, he had really meant it for exploration. He sort of almost crashes into Heather, who has just tendered her resignation. And as Olive Snook would say, resigned her tenders. Because she found out what Jerry Rocks Jackson was doing and did not agree with it. So I put my resignation when I found out he was going to do this to you. And he's like, you quit? Miss McNeil, I'm flattered, but you shouldn't. And she just couldn't work for him, knowing how he treated a great man like you. Maybe she's smitten.
She is.
She's rocking those big old like glasses that are sort of now back in hipster fashion, with a pixie haircut and a pink turtleneck.
She's 17.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
But it says that they'll be married within a year.
Yep.
Ew.
Yep.
What is it like?
Yep.
There's songs from the 70s, and like even Donna Summer in Sunset People. It's like they're 16, but they know the world. And like Dancing Queen by ABBA references women being 16 years old and like old enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so creepy.
Yeah.
When.
Yep. This is
the patriarchy.
Yes. And also, like, I think Mac is 10 years older than her.
Oh.
Yep. I thought this was mentioned in this backup story. It's mentioned in the first 12, like the story of their romance. So what happens? Like, let's continue on.
Okay.
So he is like, this is bullshit. You're not selling my tech for war.
Alone in his Spartan bachelor apartment, his mind is consumed by thoughts not at all romantic. And like, somehow with this in the evening course of the evening, he's grown some stubble, and he's just all having all the feelings, all that work, 4 years of my life, and for what? Oh, here it is. He designed the suit to increase efficiency in exploration and development, Now the military will use it to blow the blazes out of Southeast Asia. Geopolitics.
Great. Yes.
And he doesn't want his... It isn't fair. Why must science constantly be perverted by warmongers?
That's fair.
Yeah. And so he resolves. He goes back at night. Like, the security guard is like, oh, you're back burning the midnight oil? I thought you were done.
He's like, I have one more thing to do. And the thing he's doing is stealing the suit.
Larceny? Is that what that is? Petty larceny?
Yes.
Mr. Scot-Free.
Because he's like, well... Mr. Scot-Free is a tax attorney.
That's true. Not criminal. But so he pries open the gigantic crate, puts on the armor, and basically drills his way down through 10 floors to find the vault. And he just rips this solid door out of the wall.
Yep. He takes the plans.
And he's oh, the servos of the exoskeleton seem weaker than I'd anticipated.
Because he developed this before he was employed by Roxxon. So he's like, they can't have the control module for this. They can have everything else.
Well,
but they can't have
the... Eventually. He says that.
Oh.
He's still in the vault.
Yes.
He still has his... He found the plans. They're still sealed with the seals that he put on them. So he flash fries the plans and just zoops out of the building. And he had not really tried the flight before. So he was like, well... Propulsion is happening. Steering is sort of happening. I'm picking up a fair amount of momentum. I'll probably be able to ... And then he crashes.
Mm.
The word is stop is the very helpful text box. And so everything is intact. The force field protected me as well as my armor. I'll leave the suit where it can be easily found, but the cybernetic helmet is mine. I designed and built it before I came to Amcan. So... Let's just see it and try to run it without the helmet.
Yes.
And he goes stalks it off into the darkness. And that's Mac's backstory.
Yeah. We'll get more of it.
Yes.
Like how their romance progresses.
Oh.
Yep.
But I mean, good for her for recognizing that she was working for an evil corporation.
Yes. So that's the first two issues of Alpha Flight.
It's a slow burn. Like the team powers and they're practicing, leading to something's up with Marina.
Yeah, it's surprising that something funky is happening with a team member right off the bat.
And it's
like, it's not an external threat. Like, the external threat was issue one, but issue two, where you're really starting to do regular storylines, like, you're not... Burn isn't relying on a villain of the week sort of thing.
Right. I mean, there is a villain, but it's only revealed in the last page.
Right.
Otherwise, it's her disemboweling Puck and, like, being driven.
So it's character-based rather than plot-based.
Right. And I guess we do get her backstory in the pages of the main story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's done in a way that it's like, hey, we don't know her.
Yeah.
What's her deal? How did you not know she could turn on a team?
Right.
So... But yeah, she worked her way up to Alpha pretty fast from Gamma.
Yeah, she's talented, so.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
I mean, art is good.
Yeah, John Byrd.
Nothing like that really stands out.
Yeah.
But it's solid in a way that you don't necessarily notice.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like, oh, this is not great.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, it's missing background stuff, like. Everything is good.
Yes, I agree.
It flows. It's tight. Is that the appropriate adjective?
Yep. And so. That's what you get. Like, the writer is the artist when it comes to John Byrne.
Yeah.
So he's doing all of this himself. And just like working. He did with other titles. So.
You know what else he did? He worked on?
Fantastic Four.
Oh.
He had a long run on Fantastic Four at the same time.
Oh.
Like, they overlapped.
Was he just sequestered and this was all he did?
Yes. We'll get more into John Byrne. And we're going to talk about his Fantastic Four in a few issues. Maybe the next one.
Oh.
Because there's a guest appearance or two. So.
Oh.
All right, everyone. Well, we want to hear your thoughts about Alpha Flight 1 and 2 or anything else, really. Madam Web, hit us up with your Madam Web hot takes.
Yeah, what was your theater experience?
Yes, did you have more than six people in your theater?
Were you just cackling the whole time?
Because
being
I
was. Like, what?
It was fantastic.
What?
And
stay tuned for more Bun Bun updates.
Yes, as always. So thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.